This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have another episode, episode 108. We are
All good.
The margarita.
Go ahead and keep it rolling.
You had a margarita?
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Here we go. Keep it rolling. 22 in, starting over. And
I was not going to say the episode number, and I did.
That's all good. One beat after
did
I say
drink?
Action.
Yeah. She kept like chugging it. Ooh, this is good.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's start over.
I'm going to say action, give it a beat, and here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, action, Joni.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we have another episode, and we are going to be talking about hiring an A team and creating a thriving culture, which today can be extremely difficult, right?
Yeah, I love the energy. Wow. What did you have for lunch? Because you didn't share it with me.
Hey, it's one of those Mondays.
Hopefully you don't like bomb in the afternoon, just come crashing down. But no.
I might be in bed by 9, but.
We thought it would be important. I think, you know, all organizations today are struggling with hiring people. You know, I talk to colleagues, I talk to mastermind groups, you know, no matter where we go, we were getting a dress shirt. I forgot about a dress shirt, so we had to go buy a dress shirt the other day and ended up buying suits and stuff. The guy there was talking about how he's struggling, you know, the owner of that suit store to find people to show up.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing too. It's extremely frustrating too, because you'll have, you know, a couple interviews lined up and they don't show up, you know? And so you skip the whole phone interview, because if they actually show up to the office, then that's a good sign, right?
That's how you're rating people these days. No, I mean, it's been obviously because of COVID, all that's been going on, all the people that stopped working, the people that don't want to come back into the office, the people that just want to work remote, you know, going forward, and that's all they're looking for is those type of jobs. I mean, there's a lot has changed, and it's difficult to find talent these days, and especially A talent. But, you know, we're trying to create an organization, and just like many of our listeners, you know, y'all building and running successful organizations, or you might work in one, and you still need to hire within your own organization. And so how do you go about finding, you know, qualified candidates? How do you find A talent? Let's be real. If they are solid, great candidates and people you want within your organization, they're probably working for somebody already.
Yes.
Right?
So you have a
job. So.
You have to recruit them.
Correct.
And so you have to be a good, you have to tell them about your company, your culture, like why people love working for you, right? And so I'll just tell you an experience that we just recently had with the last hire. Posted a video on social media, and the girl reaches out to me and says, hey, I really love what you're doing, your company, your culture that you're creating, and I think this is an organization I want to be a part of,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
And so it started with that. But yeah, just being consistent with that as well.
Yeah, this is something I think you have done really well over the last couple of years and within our marketing department and working with them, but really sharing all that we do within our organization. And I know, you know, sometimes I'm apprehensive against it because I don't like
you're very private. You don't like people to know your business.
Correct. But it does serve, if you have a good intention and it does serve a good purpose, because people see. Otherwise, they wouldn't see it. So like on social and social accounts and, you know, YouTube and all this stuff, we're constantly posting stuff about our team events and our culture within our organization and the charity events and the, you know, how we've served Camp Hope over those years. And we went and worked at Camp Hope and helped their organization and all those different things. People see that, and people see like, wow, like this, I mean, they're having fun half of the time. They're making an impact in society and making an impact on people.
And their employees really do enjoy working for them, right? And that's, and I say that all the time, like the people that work for us really truly want to be here. They want to learn more. They want more in life. Like it's just, it's more than just a job.
Correct. And so you, to right now, when you can't find people, you're going to have to start putting in the effort and energy to start making yourself attractive, you know, to people out there. So, and with the, even within your organization, for people to refer, like say they work for us already, and to refer one of their friends or family or somebody else to come work for us, I mean, they got to believe in what you're doing and believe in what you're doing. So what we've done really well is, and what you've done really well is really attracted people by a lot of showing everything that we're doing within the organization. And so kudos to you. And I think it's made an impact because it, like our most couple recent hires have all been either somebody was referred within our organization or somebody knew us and was following us and said, hey, you know what? Now's the time to maybe make a change. And how about joining your organization and your company? So
absolutely.
So make yourself attractive. It's no data different than dating or anything like that. You know, you gotta present yourself and somebody wants to be a part of you.
And also with that, I think you've also have, you have this group called the Noontimers where we, you know, offer real estate classes to our employees to learn more about real estate. And I think that's important as well. You know, we kind of show others out there, like what our employees have bought in properties and have rental portfolios themselves, you know, so we're helping them grow in their careers as well.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that's huge in today's climate. And what we're doing is like, especially on the interviews, when you get something we've done really well, and I try to really demonstrate if I'm conducting the interview, is really show them, yes, I'm trying to screen them and see, make sure they're the right person and the right person for our organization, the right person for that position. But at the same time, I'm also selling myself. So I'm also in my organization showing them like, what do we do within our organization that can benefit you on top of just your income and benefits that we offer. So we really try to highlight those and show them, if you're truly interested in learning about real estate, if you want to know how to manage and do investments, all that, you know, we're going to show you how to do that. And we're going to show you how you can get involved in real estate. And then we're going to take it one step further. If you take that step and say, hey, I want to start investing in real estate, or I want to buy my first home, we're going to help you there and take those steps as well. And I don't know how many people within our organization you've helped with purchasing, you know, and you donated your commissions to them
all the time.
You know, to help them get in the homes. We've bought investment properties with different.
That's another thing too, is we'll partner with them. You know, they find the deal of, obviously they probably don't have the money, so we back them financially and, you know, we split the profits once we sell it. Correct. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. And it's because that's what we needed when we got started, and we needed, you know, somebody to hold our hand. And so why not be able to work for an organization that's also going to help you learn how to invest in real estate and hold your hand along the way while you have a job and you're making income and taking those next steps.
Right.
So it's kind of a win-win.
And I know what some people are thinking, oh, well, you know, if they do that, then there's a chance that, you know, they're going to figure out all what we're doing and go out on their own, right? Yeah, there's a chance that they may do that. And we've had a few employees leave on good terms, but you know, that's what it's all about. It's about growing, you know, and you're going to find somebody probably just as good, and you just help somebody.
Correct. And I mean, it's the, I don't remember where the saying came from, but, it's, you know, either way, if you're either going to, invest in those people, invest in their development, invest in, or don't do anything.
Yeah.
And then what's the result? So now you have, so you can either invest in them and they can grow as a person, grow in their career, grow with you. And yes, there's a potential they're going to leave you, but what's the alternative? Is that you just do nothing they don't advance and improve your company. I would rather take the alternative and let them keep improving my company. If they leave, great. And we've had great people do that. And they've gone on, start their own companies.
Yeah. And they're still today, they're like, thank you for, you know, giving me the confidence to be able to do that.
Right.
That alone feels good.
Yeah. We had somebody that didn't even start his own company, but went in and because of the encouragement and the books we've read as an organization together and the constant positive feedback and podcasts and everything we share with them, he was able to finally say, you know what, I'm going to take that plunge. I'm going to take that step and go into a
totally different career. And he was not even in this same career, right?
And you would have never guessed it out of him. But, I mean, just something that he was truly passionate about doing. And he got the courage to take those steps. So, something else on this note as far as attracting, you know, something I wrote down was something I think that we've done that really helped us was we hired a fractional HR company. And so, you know, we're at that awkward size where we either need to hire an HR representative within our organization or in this case, we chose to do a fractional HR company where they give us so many hours per week. They do a lot of different odds and ends for us. If we ever need help with anything HR related, we just call them. They'll be there. We have a point of contact. But what's nice is that it's a company, so they have multiple HR representatives that specialize in different areas of HR. So some are just on, you know, hiring, some are on complaints, some are on growing
compliance. And balance.
Yeah, compliance, all that. So there are different facets of what they do.
Right.
And so you get a, you know, a whole array of different skill sets that you can use and utilize rather than just hiring one individual HR person that may only specialize in one thing. And they probably do okay.
And sometimes they don't even specialize in that, right? Like you find yourselves in especially small businesses, you know, you're probably not, you probably don't have the skill set to do that, but you just throw anybody in that position, right? And there's so many moving parts. You have to make sure you're in compliance. You make sure that your job descriptions are correct, all of that. And at least on a fractional level, you can get every single department.
So what they've done really well within our own organization is on the attraction side is they have helped us write all our job descriptions. So they've wrote all our ads. They've wrote all our each job description we create. They help. We give them the, you know, the main bullet points and all that, but then they develop it. So then when we're posting these ads, it's very descriptive. It's very informative. And it's also written with. In a way that entices the candidate, because that's one thing is like, you know, it's similar to like, you know, I've never done online dating because we met at a very young age, but I'm sure you had to write a very you know, like responsive descriptive, like you got to like sell yourself and how exciting you're going to be and all, you know, rather than like a dull post, right? And so I don't have
any. I'm laughing because I would love to see that.
what would mine say? That'd be pretty hilarious. Yeah.
No, but all seriousness.
Yeah, but no. You got to write ads that are going to attract people to want to apply for your jobs.
Yeah.
And there's big difference if it's just very vanilla, very plain. You know, and we try to like, you know, entice like, hey, do you want to learn real estate? Do you want to, you know, and you got to get those key words that are going to market to somebody and want them to apply.
And then also they research to make sure that what you're paying is in line with what the job entails, right? Which is a big thing for us. Like when we started doing this, we were floored that we were, you know, our pay scale was off a little bit. So they researched to make sure that we were on target, that you're going to attract the right candidates.
Correct. And then, you know, they've done a lot of other stuff with us as far as like, you know, laying off different employees, they'll be there for us. They redid our employee handbook. There's a lot of benefits that we got, but definitely on attracting and enticing candidates to apply for our jobs, they've been really great on that. And then really structuring a nice employee job description on the front end so the employee really knows and the expectations are set up front rather than just winging it. So, which we've done too. And don't trust me, a lot of what we're sharing is stuff that it wasn't all like that all these years.
I mean, we made tons of mistakes.
Sometimes we're just winging it and, oh, shoot, we got somebody coming up, but we need to write, how do you even write a job offer, you know, and just all that. But so
we actually started off hiring a headhunter to help us with a lot of that, and we failed miserably. So a key takeaway there is look for fractional HR companies in your area. I think it's great for a small business to a medium-sized business to take advantage of.
Yeah. So, and we'll take the next step now, Joni. So, like, now that we're attracting quality A talent and getting them to apply, How do we within our company work the hiring and screening process? So let's get a little bit into that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to have a process for that as well, right? Cool. And with that, you need to have the correct software. So we use CareerPlug. And so we manage the candidates through CareerPlug.
Mm-hmm. And it gets put onto, I don't know how many different sites, like ZipRecruiter, LinkedIn, all those major sites. It all gets posted onto there. But then every time they apply, it all comes into this centralized system, which we can manage the leads and the ads.
Correct. And you can have them take assessments as well, which is if they're not going to take the assessment, that's a red flag there. They're probably not good for your candidates.
You know, something we do on the front end is that when we get a person that applies for our job and we get the resume and all that, the first thing we do is we send them an assessment. Because in our opinion, if they can't take one step, and I know sometimes the assessments and a lot of jobs do this, but sometimes it's annoying. But if they can't take that one step, it's like, to me, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, they can't follow directions. But I would also on the same time be very cautious, because I've also seen the total opposite side, where people have done very detailed, they want to screen out people extensively. So mm-hmm. they do a very hard screening or application process assessment, to the point where it's so difficult that if you start seeing that you're not getting any responses at all, that's a red flag that probably you're, assessment process is too difficult too much.
So, I mean, if you're not getting any, for sure, you need to relook at your process. Make sure that your job descriptions read correctly. Make sure that the pay, we had the wrong pay in there. We're like, well, duh, that's the reason why we're not getting your response, right?
So a good example of this is I posted, I redid an ad and refreshed it, an old one. And we had just gone to where we're now allowing, it's a good note too. We went to a, what do you call it? 1 day a week remote work.
Yeah.
So to continue, especially as people are coming back into the office, to incentivize or entice people to apply, you know, we started with a 1 day, and then we're probably going to advance to a 2 day remote work. So mm-hmm. they can work from home 1 or 2 days a week. And I clicked like remote work on the ad. And so all of a sudden I'm getting like just bombarded by ads, and they're all over the country. I'm like, why was somebody in New York? And it's because they're all applying, think it's remote work. And so they're all over the country.
But now that you brought that up though, I mean, it's a key point right there is that you may have to do some of that, right? Allowing mm-hmm. for remote work, because we're in that society today where
people are looking for
the flexibility.
Correct. So like you said, start a process, define it, and document it. And I think if you're new and maybe this is your first time hiring, I would document your entire process from start to finish. So now the next time you do this, you can hand it off to your next employee and they can help you with the hiring process. Mm-hmm. But document everything. Another takeaway or good point that we've really seen in today's market is candidates expect speed and quick responses. Like I'm talking like,
so instantaneous.
Within
the
minutes.
Minute that they submit their application, you should be reaching out to them.
Correct. And I notice that sounds
just
crazy.
Like a lead. Like if you're, you know, you're in sales, right? You never let that lead go.
So
you pick up the phone and you answer that call, right? The same thing with your candidates. Yeah. That's how you need to look at it.
Yeah, it's no different. And so they expect a quick response, even if it's just, hey, I got your resume, I'm reviewing it, or maybe, hey, got your resume, here's an assessment, can you please take it? But like that speed and then setting up the next step mm-hmm. and the next step is very crucial in today's market. Yeah. And to be
honest, because tomorrow somebody else will pick them up most likely.
Correct. And they have options. If they're truly looking and they are a talent and rock stars, I mean, they're going to get picked up. In today's time, they're going to have numerous options so you got to be on it as far as screening mm-hmm. and responding to them quickly. Just a book too that I recommend that I brought with me. If you're a reader, it's called Top Grading. And it's a good book for setting up your processes and screening processes and hiring and promoting within your organization. So I definitely recommend checking that out. Good takeaways from there as well. So,
yes.
Like we said, we use CareerPlug. We weed out a lot of people based upon the personality tests and assessments. And then from there, we schedule phone interviews to start. And usually will just basic questions, just getting to know them, making sure they're, you know, they
align with our culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're any questions they maybe have about the job that, so like I started doing all these phone screenings and they're like, and I'm like, well, so are you moving to Houston? No. Why? And I'm like, well, cause, and then it all came out that, you know, yeah. So that will obviously, you'll work out some of those kinks that maybe your ad was didn't mm-hmm. have or pay and those things. So handling a lot of the questions to just get, but they're also getting comfortable with the candidate and making sure they're a good fit. They hold themselves well on the phone because, you know, property management, a lot of their interaction is going to be on the phone.
Right. And remember, you're looking for this skill set. You're not necessarily looking for somebody that has the experience as well. So I train a lot of our franchises, and that's the thing is they always are looking for somebody with the experience, right? Mm-hmm. If they had the experience, most likely they would probably be working for somebody else. So we look for you want it, and you have the capacity, correct. Right? And so you're looking, and we use the predictive index when placing. And so we look for those qualities of an individual that we know that are going to be able to, you know, perform the job, and they're going to fit our company culture as well. Yeah.
So the predictive index has been a huge, one of the huge assessments that we really use to making sure they're the right person for that particular seat. So a lot of the screening up front, phone and office interviews, is making sure they're a good candidate for our organization. They're going to fit our culture. They're going to fit the environment, and they're going to thrive in this culture and environment. But then the next is doing the predictive index to make sure they're going to be the right person for that seat.
Which is that, to me, is the most important, because we have done it where we've placed the wrong person in the wrong seat. I mean, they might be great, you know, an individual, and they fit your company, your culture, but if you put them in their wrong seat, then you're just going to fail them.
I think we've done both sides. I think we've also taken some people that are rock stars, but they weren't a good culture fit for us. Mm-hmm. And they could have done great, but they didn't last because they didn't fit our culture. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out for them. So try to make sure that it fits both. The right person on the bus, I've always said, and then they're the right person for that particular seat. Mm-hmm. But be honest, like, we've always had much more success taking people that had really no industry experience in our industry. Mm-hmm. If you look at our operations managers, if you look at our leadership team, none of them came from, I guess one of them came from commercial real estate, but not right. residential.
We had some in the healthcare industry. I mean, it's
from all over. Right. Pest control. Mm-hmm. We had marketing in precious metals, construction, I guess, I think it was insurance, you know, so it was all over the board. But it just shows that if they get it, they want it, and they have the capacity, the rest you can teach. Uh-huh. The rest they can learn over time, because they're going to want to grow. They're going to want to learn, and they're going to be hungry to learn. And right. those are the ones that are going to thrive in our culture.
Absolutely. And after they, you know, we do, you mentioned that we do the phone interview, but I really like bringing them into our office because it shows our company, it shows our culture, what we've created. I love for them to meet the team. And I also have the team, whoever they're going to be working with, you know, interview them as well. Gives a different perspective.
Yeah, we usually have at least 2 to 3 different people interview them. And number one, that we're just getting another perspective mm-hmm. on them, and maybe they'll ask different questions, but we're also making sure that they're, again, the right person for our culture, and it'll be evident, you know, because all three will be unanimous. Yeah, they're not going to work, not going to fit, or they're not.
It's amazing. Yeah. Like you and I will go in the room, right? And they know that we're owners of the company. Yeah. Of course, they're not going to tell us anything. You know, they're going to act like everything's great, right? Yeah. But then, you know, somebody else in our organization comes in and they just lay everything out, tell them their whole life story.
Yeah. That's weird how people do that, but because it's going to get back to the same answer. But anyways, and also, I think it also, when the owners, you know, they're not going to maybe ask some questions about the company, but we bring in other team members, they feel more,
they feel comfortable
to ask questions about, like, okay, well, you know, how is their management style, or how is it working in here? And they'll get other perspectives on our organization. Mm-hmm. They'll ask questions about, like, our events and what we do, and, you know, so they'll get another perspective, and they mm-hmm. feel like it. they can feel comfortable asking those questions. So it always helps as well for the candidate side to get a better perspective of our company.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, we always have multiple people interview, sometimes together, sometimes separate.
Mm-hmm. I like it usually separate just so they can, you know, have their time with individual. They don't have to feel like they're pressured or uncomfortable. And some people like, oh, they'll just make them feel uncomfortable as much as possible.
See if they crack under pressure. I think it depends on the position, I think. You know, it depends on the role. Sometimes that's really nerve-wracking for somebody, but it depends on the role, how they can handle pressure.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about onboarding, you know, because I think that you really have to set the stage for success, right? Mm. And setting those expectations early on.
Yeah. So how do we do that?
And so one thing that we really did was we had a presentation, Mason. Actually, our fractional HR company created a presentation like who we are as a company, who we are as owners, like, you know, what we're known for, our core values, really, really detailed. And that's what we presented them on day one, right? Yeah.
And so it went into... Because also, you know, Joni and I have other brands and other, so depending on where they're hired into our company or organization, it also, you know, opens them up to the multiple different brands we have and within our umbrella, and then what we're about, what we try to accomplish, and both in our community, but also internally as our right. organization. And so I think it just gives a good perspective on us and who we are and what we're trying to accomplish. And I think, you know, from the first day, I think just sets up a good tone and good start.
Absolutely.
And then we also, I think it's always great to, we always give them like a
partner.
A buddy.
Yeah, we give them a buddy, you know, at the start. So that way they, if they have questions, they have a partner that they can come back to. So somebody that can support them, correct. Right? They go to lunch with them, breaks with them, and kind of they meet frequently throughout the day.
Just somebody that, you know, that is looking out for them, you know, throughout their first week, just to make them feel comfortable and make them feel invited. So, and then we also, for us, and this is like, we've gotten better at this. So remember I said we messed all this up. We used to just hire somebody and be like,
yeah, sink or swim.
Here's your computer. Here's how you log in. Here's your email and good luck. Like, you know, go figure it out.
That's why we have better people for working for us because they don't do that. Well,
You need training. There's that little question mark help thing in the right hand corner. Go find a video on it. But and we've had people do that. I remember one person who does all our payroll. I hired her and like I was like, okay, we need you to do payroll the next day.
Have you done it before?
Because we were in desperate times, or also our
accountant. We laugh at that, but I'm serious, guy. Like, train, if you can get the training right, then you're setting yourself up for success because.
And that should be documented as well. And that should be all laid out. So prior to them arriving their first day, you have their 2-week training outline.
Planned out outline. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So,
and who they're sitting in with, who they're shadowing with. Correct. All of that should be laid out.
And then, we've gotten better at this as well, is, you know, we do the 30, 60, 90 day reviews, and it just helps clear the expectations. It helps the employee know, gives them feedback on how they're doing. You get feedback on maybe where you could have improved your training program, where you could have, you can enhance it.
Right there. They're looking for feedback, correct. All of them, whether it's an in-house employee or whether it's a remote employee. We have, you know, 20 remote team members out of Mexico. Every single one of them is looking for feedback.
Yeah. And I think you as an organization or the leader needs to also be wanting feedback from them as well. And where could you improve?
And open to taking that, correct. Right? And that's another thing too, is like, you'd be an owner that says, oh, like, I don't agree with that. Well, be open to it because their opinion may matter, may change, you know, some things for the best.
Yeah. And so if you get them through those 90 days and you kind of set them up for success, I think if you hired the right candidates that are that get it, want it, and have the capacity, you know, and for us within our own organization, it's people that are, to me, like hard workers. They appreciate challenges. It's part of our core value. They're willing to learn. They have grit, you know, and you know, they're the type that just pull up their sleeves no matter what mm-hmm. happens, they're going to make it happen. And so,
and that's a good point you made there too, because we go over our core values a whole lot, right? Yeah. Like who we are, like, you know, what are we about in our organization? And I think it's important for you to know and understand what that candidate's core values are as well, to make sure that they're aligned with your company or culture.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. How do you go about doing that?
Asking them questions, you know, like, who are they? What are they known? What do they stand for? Like, what's their passions, right? Helping people.
It's helped us usually that first week, you know, you and I, we haven't always done it, but you know, we go take them out to lunch and get to know them. I find out a ton within, you know, an hour and a half lunch about that person. Mm-hmm. I had no clue that you don't get in the interview. You know, people are more open. You find about their families and stuff. Other things that you don't
they're passionate
find.
About that you maybe correct. Wouldn't have known before.
And then from there, you know, we've talked about some of the stuff, you know, part of this is also in every facet is your culture, and your number one, you're trying to hire for the right person on your guys' bus. You're trying to attract the right people. And a lot of that's going to all come down to your company's culture yeah. and whether you intentionally implement one or not, you're still going to have mm-hmm. a culture, and
good
so,
or bad.
So you might as well intentionally create a culture. And so, like you mentioned, it starts with the core values. So yeah. your core values should be written. Your team members should know them. You should have them posted. You should have them up, you know, and something you talk about frequently. And I think Brett, at least every couple of weeks, is talking about our core values.
No, we're talking about them every week. Every Thursday, we're talking about our core values in our customer service workshop. And even the new employees, you know, he will call on them and right. have them state one of the core values.
And then, you know, something that has really made an impact, and this all comes back from like EOS or scaling up, is our meeting schedule, because mm-hmm. I think it's part of our culture. It's part of what we do, where we have daily huddles every morning, and we talk about what's working, what's not. We share good news. We talk about stucks as an organization right. together. But it just starts the day off right.
Yeah, and if you're managing remote employees, this is huge. I mean, this is something that you have to implement.
Yeah.
Or if you're managing, you know, several different locations, right? Because again, it's all about getting on that same page, and your first, I call it the most important 15 minutes of your day. Like if you do nothing at all, that right there is the most yeah. important.
And this is something we've learned, again, from mistakes, is we've struggled with offices and other locations to keep the culture unified throughout the whole organization. It's tough. If they're not in your main office daily, it's hard to implement that.
Right.
You got to find the right, number one, the right people. But then secondly is having these touch points where the culture spread throughout everything. So like the daily huddles, we do every Wednesday like a KPI weekly review. And so each facet of the organization is has to post their KPIs, and we go over it, and it's green, yellow, red. So we know who's performing, who's doing okay, and who's not. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just a coaching, maybe it's an issue, but at least you know where everybody's yeah. at and
people. And I think going back to when you're hiring too, I think that this, giving the candidate like what their objectives, what their goals are, right? Mm-hmm. So that way when you're doing these KPIs, they're not surprised. Oh, I didn't know that I was responsible for leasing this yeah. many houses. If I would have known that, you know.
Yeah.
So it starts with when you onboard them and, you know what their objectives are and go through their goals with them.
That's a good point. And then we do on Thursdays, which you just mentioned, our customer service workshop, which we talk about everything. We start off with core values, and then we talk about everything related to customer service, because that's the all our businesses focus around customer service.
And it's ongoing training for yeah. everybody, you know. Like, and what I love about our workshops is that Brett leads them, and he'll call on somebody every week to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And so it just really helps improve them as leaders as well, because yeah. they're presenting, they're getting out of their comfort zone, doing something that they probably wouldn't have done otherwise, right? And some days we just, you know, we go through a call together, and how can we improve our customer service on this call?
Yeah, and people just hearing it makes such a huge impact. Hearing that call and what they did well, where they could have improved,
mm-hmm.
That's tough sometimes to hear, you know, because we're all reevaluating ourselves, and sometimes it makes people uncomfortable, but it also at the same time helps people grow. And
yeah, so absolutely.
And that's what we really strive within our organization is to grow through putting ourselves in uncomfortable situations. So
I don't know a lot of organizations that, you know, promotes growth and promotes, you know, self-development, which we do a lot of that. And I think it's important in an organization.
It's part of our core values. Mm-hmm. So if you're not about self-improvement, you're probably not a good fit for our organization. So we're willing to get uncomfortable and challenge yourself. So, and that doesn't mean that that's right or wrong. It just means that's us.
That's us.
And so you got to develop that yourself.
Right.
So, and then you mentioned some of this stuff. Some of the other, I think, things that really help our culture is, like we mentioned, growing together, but we do that by like a book club. So mm-hmm. we're always constantly reading a book together.
Once a quarter, we'll read a book together.
You mentioned the Noontimers, which would go over real estate investing, and I share about all my mistakes and what I'm doing right and what I'm doing wrong. It's usually evaluating mm-hmm. the deals that I'm currently involved in, but also we also go over some of the ones that we're doing with our team members and the ones we bought with them and what's going on with there and any new strategies, anything we talked about investing outside of real estate for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Cause at that time we were reading a book about investing in the stock market, your 401k, all that stuff. So we were going over strategies there, IRAs, self-directed IRAs. So we'll go into other different things and it's once a month. I meet for an hour and it's usually during lunch. What else?
Yeah. Also finding ways to motivate your team, you know? And so we do a lot of contests. We're in different pods. So different pods will have contests against each other, which I think it's healthy.
Yeah.
Right. For your organization.
Yeah. And again, that's part of our culture is we like a competitive culture because that's how we are wired, you and I, and it's fun. So whether it's bowling or whether it's throwing axes or competing on reviews, online reviews, or competing on scores, you know, on our KPI reports, mm-hmm. It's always some little friendly competition and we reward them that way.
And the last thing I'll mention is lunch and learns, which I think are extremely important, especially if you have different departments that maybe don't work together all the time. Like, you know, do a lunch and learn on leasing or renewals, whatever it is, but it really allows the other departments to know what they do on a day-to-day basis.
That's a good point. Yeah. And they I think so many other people outside didn't realize, oh, I didn't know that's why you did what you
exactly.
did.
Exactly. Why is it so important?
Yeah. Sometimes
why you're pushing me to do this.
Yeah. So I think it helps break down those silos within mm-hmm. within your organization and within the different departments. So I hope that was beneficial. We went over a lot there on hiring an A team and create a thriving culture. And so, if you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer those. We've made a lot of mistakes and just learn from them. And so hopefully
learn from our mistakes.
Yeah. And, but just get started. I think taking that first step about hiring your first employee, that's always the hardest one. For us, it was our old babysitter. So that's where we found our mm-hmm. first hire. And so it can be as simple as that. So it doesn't, it doesn't have to be just somebody we knew that was looking to get out of babysitting and into the office environment. And so it worked out for us.
Yeah, it did. And that brings me to the final point is always try to be recruiting, right?
Yes, that's true.
Wherever you go, where it's to dinner with your husband, wife, your children, like always be looking for that next rock star. Okay. Because you never know where that's going to lead you. I can tell you there's several stories, but we found several, rock stars just randomly.
Yeah. So, because you're talking to people, you hear that they're looking and you just plant a seed
mm-hmm.
and the harvest will come. So we've just planted a lot of seeds and we've had some really great results from it. So
get out of your comfort zone.
All right. Well, that is it for today, and we'll wrap that up. So again, please share this if you know anybody that's looking to hire and maybe could use some tips and tricks. Otherwise, we'll see y'all next week. Have a great week.
See you, everyone.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there. Talking.
Talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it
every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.